something went on here and something went on there.
This time on TNT.
From the World Par 3 Championship to the Canadian Screen Awards, we get all caught up.
We play a new game, Bayo or Bio.
And we play another new game, Blank Your Old Mask. That's all coming up right now on TNT.
Hello.
New phone, who dis?
Yes.
I went to Rolling Phones, bud. I pulled the trigger.
Rolling Phones.
After all that pressure and information to ingest, I think I might have overshot the runway really on what I need. Yeah. I got the iPhone 8 Plus, and it's like an IMAX-sized screen. Like Seamus wanted to see at the Ontario Science Center.
The one where when you take the picture, it's like it's a hologram of yourself.
Yeah, which I don't really get. I don't know why you would want that as a feature, but it's kind of wild.
No, I'm just joking. What do you, what, there's like a hologram feature?
Okay, so it's not a hologram, but if you take a picture of someone, it's like not just a still image, it's like a 2 second moving picture.
Oh, yeah, so it's like Harry Potter styles.
Yeah, but I don't understand why you would need that.
I know, it's weird, eh? It's like, super weird. Need the moving part.
Bud, we have so much to talk about.
Yeah.
I think partly because we recorded last week's episode before you went to Bermuda.
Yes.
And so this is kind of later in the week. We've covered a lot of ground personally and as a duo. We have a lot to get to. So let's start chronologically. How was Bermuda?
It was fantastic. It
windy.
It was super windy. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, 100... kilometer winds with gusts up to 120 kilometers.
Like, were you golfing when it was that windy?
I was golfing one day, and it was 80 to 90 kilometers, and the ball was kind of oscillating, like moving but not completely rolling off the green. But on the second day it was canceled because the balls wouldn't stay on the green, and like there's no point in going out. But we went out on the third day and played on the Pro-Am, and it was the Grey Goose World Championship Par 3 was the whole thing, and PGA of Canada put it together, had me come down there for them, and had a great time with a lot of good bods down there with the like Chris Fry, for example, from PGA of Canada is a great. We had some good fun, and Billy Walsh, we had a good time with Billy and his buddy Kyle, and we just playing in that wind was it's not really like it's just not something normal, something, so you just kind of gotta have fun with it, I guess.
Well, it kind of doesn't matter how good you are, does it, in that kind of wind?
Isn't it
kind of a great equalizer?
It depends, because there's great golfers that are really good wind players that are good, like old classic wind players, like Lee Trevino, because he hit the ball low and it just kind of went right into the wind, as opposed to guys who hit the ball really high. It just kind of almost comes back at you.
Right, he's a low whacker.
Yeah, so you have to change. You have to hit the ball low, for one thing, and it's kind of a little more difficult because you have to hit shots that you normally would be hitting if you're like under a tree or something, and that's why you have to do it. So it was fun.
Bushwhacking. Though.
It was a good time. Jerry D won the amateur side of it.
Come on.
He played great for that wind. And so Jerry, he doesn't just he what is it? He walks the talk.
How do they make a course a par three course? Do you just play the par three holes?
It's all par threes.
So there's a whole course that's just par threes?
Yeah, that's probably the best par three course in the world. But it's 18 par threes, and honestly, there's a hole that's 230 yards with the wind into it, and everyone's hitting driver and like just getting on the green. And I hit, for example, a shot that was 110 yards, and I used a 7-iron. Which normally is like 160, 165 yards.
So are there special caddies who, like, understand the wind?
Not really. But everybody was pros and had played there. Everybody played with a pro that was local to the area. I played with a guy named Chris Ganchier, who's the head pro at Mid-Ocean Club, which is a beautiful golf course in Bermuda. And he lives down there, so I got local tips from him. But there wasn't really anything other than just try to keep the ball low. Like, for example, the first hole, I was late for my tea time. I was up early enjoying breakfast, and I was just kind of enjoying the morning too much, hanging out in my room, looking out the beautiful balcony view, which was the whole, you know, the ocean, the sun coming down. It was gorgeous. And I realized, hey, my tea time's in like 10 minutes. And I'm like, well, I figure it's right outside the front door, so who cares? So I get up my clubs, and I'm starting to walk down the hall, and Billy Walsh is running towards me at the end of the hall saying, what the hell, man, you got a tee time. I'm like, now you got to get there. You're going to get disqualified.
I'm like, can you really imagine?
And he's like, here, give me your bag. Take these two clubs and run. So I ran ahead, and he took my clubs. He gave me two clubs, a ball, and I ran ahead of him. And that's some bodism, by the way, of Billy Walsh. He's number three player in the country, like a great golfer, but also a really great guy. But he took the clubs behind me and was...
The old bag and run.
Yeah, he got me there on time, and I just got there literally 30 seconds before.
And then you shrieked it in the forest.
Pulled it right into this bush, the only bush, a little kind of shrub bush, about, I don't know, 60 yards to the left.
Off. The only one.
I'm not kidding. There was all these nice, beautiful palm trees, and then this little tiny, you know how those little shrub bushes are there? Those
and you just worm burned it right into one.
Went in that.
Did you partake of Bermuda proper? Like, you go for a drive, sightseeing?
Well, let me finish the hole. So I chipped out, and hit it. I somehow got it on the green from the bush area.
So you're lying two
on the green, had about 32 footer, and I made that putt.
Come on.
And it was a great way to start. And I think on the next hole, I made a five. So
the guys that you're playing with, after your worm burner, were like, oh man, it's going to be a long round. Well, I guess that's the thing with a par three. It's never a long round. That part's great.
That's how I roll, though. It's like, whatever I take, I have to give right back. One time I hit my second shot on a par four at King's Riding in the hole, like eagle on the first hole. Next hole's a par three over water. Hit it in the water, made a five. Two strokes, goal, coming right back. Forget it. Stott thought it was on a world start.
Well, yeah, you got in your own head. That's why you have a good front nine, your back nine's terrible.
Yeah.
You have a bad front, you relax, you play great on the back.
That's what happened to me. I had a huge front nine and played pretty good on the back, but it wasn't good enough.
There you go.
Posted a stink.
Fun ball. Week, though. Did you hang out with the TSN gals?
Yeah, well, everybody was there. It was a big group in the lobby. There was band and music, and Natasha was there, Jerry was there, Billy was there, Kyle, every single person from the tournament was down there. My old buddy Omar Uresti, who's a tour player. Hey, Rebs, the heck's going on,
bot? Pipe down, bot.
He's like... Well, because he just had a shower, and he gets all fired up when he has a shower. What do you mean a
shower?
Well, like, yeah, he's got it washed.
Well, do you mean he had a bath, or he had a shower?
No, in the shower. It's easy to wash him in the shower, because you can fire the shampoo on him, bring him in and out of the water. It's not as annoying for them, you know? Because in the bathtub, he actually doesn't mind the bath, but the shower seems to be easier. Anyway, when you bring him out, I dry him off a bit. But he gets all fired up, like if you give a cat catnip. So he's like jumping around and...
He's feeling frisky.
He's on the bed behind me, and he's just like knocking the covers everywhere and fired. Stop it. Getting all worked up. But he's been working. He was all wet.
He's feeling fresh and clean.
He's all dry, and he's just acting like he's like, yeah, fresh as a daisy. Spa day.
Spa day.
Rebsy. Hey, you know those guys?
Did you go into town? Did you eat some food? Did you drive around? It's remarkable, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. That downtown area is so beautiful. The little shops and the way that the architecture is. It's incredible. All the different colors, like Newfoundland. You know what I mean? All those pastels, yellows and blues and reds everywhere, every house. And then you see the. Hey, come on, man. Shh. You see the yachts in the harbor there? The oligarchs up in there?
What's wrong with that?
Well, the KGB mobiles?
Yeah, not those dudes, but like the yachts and the architecture and the colors.
Yeah. It's a nice spot. It's incredible. And then all the islands. I didn't realize all those beautiful little islands. You see every little island, there's like houses on it. It like there's I don't know what one of the islands called on the north side, but it looks these just rows of beautiful old houses on an island, and it's just I didn't realize how north it was like you said previous, but it's just really kind of out desolate in the middle of the ocean, not unlike Hawaii in a way. It's just
I have to assume island living is one of those things that's a romantic notion too, but the practical aspect of it must. Well, kind of get you down sometimes.
When you're in the Caribbean down there, like all the islands are so close, it must feel kind of more community, you know, that you're only a half an hour from another place. But it's way out in the middle of nowhere. So you see those huge seagulls and just the difference, you know what I mean? Like of that hardcore island styles.
I was Googling lighthouses for sale because a couple of years ago, the American government decided that all these lighthouses were kind of surplus. They didn't really serve a function anymore.
Yeah.
And in like Michigan, they were selling these beautiful lighthouses for $10,000 each.
Mm-hmm.
And there's in Nova Scotia that I've always been enchanted by. My buddy Chris Mills wrote a book called Vanishing Lights. He was a lightkeeper. And there's a lighthouse called Gannett Rock. And the island, if you can call it that the lighthouse is on, is about twice the size of the base of the lighthouse itself. And it used to be you'd go out for a six-month shift. Maybe it was a year. You'd go out for a year shift, and the only time you'd see people was at the six-month mark. They'd do a helicopter drop of provisions. You're by yourself in this lighthouse twice the size on an island twice the size of the base. And the only exercise you can do, aside from like, you know, using soup cans or free weights to kind of do arm curls, the only like outdoor exercise is walking laps around the base of the lighthouse because that's all there's room for.
Hey, man, that's a good time right there.
That's a good time right there.
Hey, how long, just a question, how long would you survive if you were like out, you know, out on a little dinghy boat that's in the middle of the ocean? How long do you think you'd give yourself?
Okay, am I allowed 3 follow-up questions?
And by the way, that might be the worst way to go up there. Because that's a slow, horrible death, unless you want to jump in and get eaten by a shark, which ain't so good, Al.
Well, this lighthouse thing, I mean, that's a slow burn because you'd go nuts.
Yeah.
Like, imagine this Chris Mills guy was on Gannett Rock before the internet. I'm saying
deserted. Though you're deserted, like you got to give yourself like I'm out. Like I don't think I'm gonna make it. How long do you think you'll make it? And you have like the only thing you have is what you have on you, like no food or anything.
Okay, so those were my questions. How warm is the water?
Yeah, whatever. And you're out in the southern Atlantic.
How far from shore?
1,000 miles.
Okay, so unswimmable.
You're done.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
And the thing that you're on is pretty much the same color as the water, and your clothes are the same color as the water.
You're wearing your ocean blue three-piece suit? Yeah. I'm going to say with your kelp colored tie.
And you have to keep everything on because it's like sunburn alley. Oh. So you can't, nobody can ever see you. So it's like there's no chance.
Well, I read a book called The Secret of the Sea.
Okay.
And it was about eating folks in the same, like if we were on a ship and it sank and the two of us were on a lifeboat and
that's not the hypothetical here. You gotta give me yours.
Are we playing Hungry Hungry Hypos? Yeah. I think I would live for 8 days.
8 days?
Yeah. I think I'd live for 8 days because, well, the problem is you're surrounded by water. This is what it said in The Secret of the Sea. So you start drinking ocean water, but it's so salty, it just makes you more thirsty.
Yeah, no, and it just dehydrates you. It's awful.
Why do you say it's awful like you know from experience?
Well, because I've watched those survival people.
And you haven't read The Secret of the Sea. You don't even know how it ends. They eat a guy.
Yeah, well, apparently you can have a little bit of ocean seawater, but not like a tiny bit, like a little to wet your mouth.
Well, you don't even have a cup to put it in.
You can't chug it like much in a day or else that's the end of you.
There are a few secrets of the sea. One is you drink your pee.
How about this? There was a guy who survived weeks out there, and it was some guy. All he had was his wallet and his shoes, and he survived by eating his wallet, his business cards, and his shoes, like the leather in his shoes. If not for that stuff, he would have died.
I don't even understand.
I guess somehow there was nutrition in the paper and his business cards, the leather, the wallet, and his leather shoes was enough to sustain him, I guess.
And how long would you last?
I think it's got a lot to do with will too, because sometimes you hear people that's like, "There's no way they're still alive," like in a buried underneath rubble for like 2 weeks or something, and they're like, "Help!" I think that's got to do with a decision in your own mind. But obviously, when it's a rare situation where you have that choice. I think I would make about 3 days, maybe.
Three?
Two and a half, maybe.
So, am I just being ocean half full? I just think, like, some people...
Depends on the weather.
When they're ready to go and their organs are shutting down and they're lying in a hospital bed, it can still be 8 to 10 days.
And if there's a storm, it's over right then.
Well, but also, if it's really hot and really sunny, that's bad.
No, you're lying on your back and you see the Vince Carter waving his hands saying it's over in the dunk contest. That's what you see right before the, 150-foot swell in the ocean capsizes your little dinghy.
Okay, here's a weird category.
You see the 15 with the hands.
You're slipping away. You know the end is nigh.
It's over.
You have a Walkman. What song would you want to hear pumping in your head?
Oh, man. I just don't think there's a chance for... I don't think you'd want it, man. I don't think you'd want to care for that. That I don't know. I think in those points with fears kind of gripping, solace is pretty far away at that point. You know what I mean?
You could drink your tears. Really? I'd probably want The Way It Is pumping.
Oh, my God. The way... And then you're like, hey, wait, this is kind of ironic as you're going.
The funny thing is, that is your idea of hell. Like, it's already not bad enough. You need the horns be in your ears.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know if there was probably Love Supreme, maybe.
I might want Into the Mystic playing.
And then... Oh.
Like, when that foghorn blows, it's as if you're being called home, right? You know I will be coming home.
You're just all of a sudden floating.
Here's what I haven't told you. I have so much to tell you. But before we take a break, I'm going to tell you this one little thing that happened that I can't believe I forgot to tell.
What?
When we were in Vegas shooting, I was doing this corporate gig. We were shooting a Superman video.
Okay.
In which I played Superman. And one of the Superman scenes, well, like I'd get up from the desk and change behind a plant and I'd become Superman. I won't bore you with the details, but one of the scenes, I defuse a bomb. So we had a bomb prop.
Uh-oh.
And we were all very wary of the bomb prop, and we didn't want it to be, you
Was
know,
it like the classic round with the thing coming
like
out
three,
of it?
Like three red cylinders wrapped with a Velcro thing with blue and red wires, like classic.
The dynamite styles.
And all day long, we were like, oh, man, we better not leave that lying around. Anyway, somehow we did. Left it lying out backstage in the case where we shot the prop. Me defusing the bomb as Superman. Middle of the night, security guard on the rounds spots a bomb backstage. Calls the meeting planners. The meeting planners call the canine unit.
Yeah, and this is a major place. This isn't happening at like a... You know, roadside
motel.
Well,
and it's in a town that is already on high alert for well-documented reasons. Yeah. What a horror show. They were apparently seconds away from evacuating the hotel because you can imagine how terrifying that would be. What a screw-up that was.
Yikes.
Yikers Island. Okay, let's take a break, bud.
Okay.
We have so much to talk about. We have so much to talk about.
This episode of Tech and Times is brought to you in part by Chipotle. Chipotle, chips and quack, tacos, and enchiladas. We'll be right back.
Hello.
Hey. New phone, who this?
It is.
I have had a couple of incidents this week where I got a text. And
it's Roy. It's Roy.
Oh, boy.
Joe, you're still trying to make hits.
Riff jacker. I actually have had a couple of incidents because here's what happened. I have a MacBook Air. It keeps saying startup disk full. When I plug in my old phone, it's like, we don't have room to store all this stuff. When I plug in my new phone, it's like, what is this new phone? We have nothing to put on it. So somehow some of the stuff from my old phone is on my new phone, but some of it isn't, which has resulted in some new phone who dis texts, which
That's awesome.
Pretty uncomfortable, to be honest.
Yeah, no, it is. It happens a lot, and you just feel so bad when you're like, because you don't remember people's phone numbers anymore at all.
No, of course not. You somehow take it personally.
Yeah, you're like, oh no.
Yeah.
New phone. That means you deleted my number.
New phone. Who dis?
By the way, Anna's all better now.
Yay.
So yes, she's
her tummy's all better. She's back at school. Everything's rolling.
Back at school, rocking. We're getting fired up here because John's birthday is tomorrow. So March 9th, it would be. This will be coming out Monday, so we're going to rock it on the whole weekend. Because the March break, it's a great way to kick off the March break is with a birthday party for a 12-year-old.
No kidding.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. So speaking of March break, let me start a week ago since we last talked and then kind of work my way forward and lead you to March break and our plans and how they're being impacted and all that.
Okay.
Last Friday, we went to Letterkenny Live in Moncton.
Yes.
1,900 masks, packed casino New Brunswick. It was an unreal display of affection for this town. Forward destroyed. K-Trev had the folks in stitches. The guys are performing scenes. You know that they have the veggie cart, so they perform kind of some of the favorite scenes from the show, and people are hanging on every word. They know all the jokes. They get all the jokes. They were really engaged. And if it must be such a kick for those guys because, as we know on a different scale, you do this thing in a vacuum, and then suddenly you go out in the world, and you realize the impact that it's having. So that was really exciting to witness.
Yeah. No, and they're eating it right up, I bet.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it must feel great.
I get to go on Saturday night.
Unskinny bop. Yeah, you'll have a ball for sure.
Looking forward, looking forward to it.
So, Carol and I went to the Canadian Screen Awards on Tuesday night. The Canadian Screen Awards is broken down into three evenings. Tuesday is non-scripted, which is the night I was up for an award. Wednesday night is the scripted, but like best supporting actor kind of categories. And then Sunday is the broadcast. And the broadcast is obviously the bigger categories, best comedy series and best actor and all that stuff.
And I got to say, congrats, Bod. You won.
Thanks, Bod. Nice. I did.
Nice. You're becoming the Meryl Streep now of the Screen Awards. You used to be the what's her name, the one who didn't win, now you're the person who does win.
Susan Lucci.
Yeah, and now you're just, if you're in, you're getting it.
Well, I don't know.
I'm in it with Torrens this year. I'm not getting that.
I don't know if that's true, but it's nice of you to say, and it is a kick to win. Like, obviously in the big picture, there are more important things, or you can find validations in other ways. And, you know, as parents, if our kids are healthy and our marriages are strong, then that's really what matters. But, you know, it does feel good in that moment to hear your name called and get to bound up to the podium and thank the people that helped you get there. So our plan was this. Carol was supposed to come to Vegas for our anniversary. Mm-hmm. And it turns out I was working when she was supposed to come. So we thought, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to the Canadian Screen Awards on Tuesday night. And then Wednesday, do the sneaky trip back to Nova Scotia through New York City.
From downtown island, right? From Porter? Yeah.
So we're going to fly from the island in Toronto to New York, like land at 9 in the morning, spend the day in New York, and then fly back home Wednesday night. So we still kind of get home to the kids. We've only been away one night, but we have this sneaky little New York City lunch date.
I love that.
Start getting blown. I know. It is both wildly irresponsible and
totally us. Me and Lisa are bound. We're going to get one of those going in the next little bit.
It's the best.
The New York rip, weekend rips.
It's so fun. Because it you know, like anything in a relationship, it doesn't have to work for everyone. It just has to work for us. But a lot of people are like, you're not even going to stay the night? Like, why bother? Why would you even do that? Well, because we have this small window and that's fun for us. So start getting these texts from like Delta and Porter. There's a weather bomb coming. If you want to change your flight, we totally get it. No charge, no harm, no foul, but it's going to be bad. So we made the very difficult decision to bail on going to New York because of all the snow that was going to hit the Eastern Seaboard. Mm-hmm. Part of the reason we were only going to go for a day is because we're leaving in the bus to drive to Florida Friday.
Yeah.
But now there are 3 back-to-back Northeasters coming over the next several days. And old me would have just said, the hell with it. Let's go to New York and see what happens. And if we get stuck, there are worse places to get stuck and whatever. Yeah. Old me would have left tomorrow anyway, because that's when we said we were leaving. But this new responsible me is like, well, that's kind of asking for it if you're driving headfirst into a storm that you know is coming.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
I know. So we don't know what to do is the headline.
So what do you do?
Because our plan was to go down to Florida for March break and enjoy the sunshine and stuff. But March break starts tomorrow, and there's snow for as many days in a row as the calendar even goes.
So what are you going to do? Hang on and maybe leave later next week? Or
I guess so.
And and you're going to go for how long? 3 weeks then?
Yes, it's going to be quite a little amount of time, because Easter is at the end of this month.
So we're going to kind of do a
March break to Easter run.
How does that work? Do you have to like get homework, or do they just like take, you know?
I'm glad you asked.
Yeah.
Because it's something that we've thought a lot about, and something that, you know, there are arguments for not doing this as a family. There are arguments for not interrupting the routine and not missing too much school. But here's what we've concluded. When we travel as a family.
Sorry, I like the world, you know, it is school kind of when you're on a trip, right? So,
well, that's our conclusion.
Yeah.
And the example that I've been using recently is when we went to San Diego in October, we drove across the border to Tijuana. That was quite an education for them. Mm-hmm. We went on the aircraft carrier that's now a museum. That was quite an education for them. And in all of these things, there's math and science and geography and English and culture that, you know, is different from where we live. Sure. So we've concluded, at least at this age, what they see and what they learn by taking them with us outweighs what they miss by being away. And yeah, presumably sure. There will come a time in the not too distant future when they're like, actually, I'd like to stay home for basketball practice, or I don't want to miss Caitlin's sleepover or whatever. Mm-hmm. So yeah. As long as they're young enough and willing to come, I think our MO is we'll probably do it as much as the school will let us. And so far, so good. I had a chance to have that conversation with the principal, and he had similar experiences with his kids.
Mm-hmm. We want to do the same thing to Costa Rica for a month.
Yeah.
Hopefully in the next little while, that'd be fun. Maybe next year. But
well, because other cultures do that. Other cultures encourage families to do that.
Yeah, you go away for 2-3 weeks, a month, and then you actually take in the culture. You can't not take that in at that length.
Exactly. Sure. And, you know, if I have to travel for work and they're able to come with me for our family unit, it's better for us to be together when we can. So I understand the argument against it and all that, but anyway, that's the decision that we've made for now. So at the Canadian Screen Awards, I saw Jan Arden.
Yeah.
Nice woman.
Mm-hmm.
Super nice woman.
Have you met her before?
I guess I have. You know when I met Jan Arden was the year I was working as a writer on the Junos.
That's
and
right.
She was presenting with a couple of the NSYNC. She's presenting with a couple of the NSYNCers.
So you're like, you're all like, as you were getting blown off by Gordon Lightfoot, you're like, oh, hey, Jan.
Yeah. Well, we had to go into NSYNC's dressing room and say like, hey guys, here's kind of the bit. Here's what we're thinking. Does this work for you? And it was like talking to a couple of hamburger buns, like just blank stare, slack jaw. Like
they weren't listening?
No. No, they're pretty big time. It was Lance and
Boyle.
Probably the second best one, Lance and Boyle. JC Chavez. It was probably Lance and JC.
The Ken doll that you'd never hear his voice always. He never had the solos.
No, I think you're thinking of Kevin. Oh, now it's becoming clear who we think is attractive in
Who's
boy
the guy bands. Who has the hair up, the pineapple hairdo?
No, that's Chris Kirkpatrick.
Yeah, isn't that he's in that band, right?
I'm going to the Google. JC Chazaz and Lance.
And then there's like the Mr. Angelino guy.
Then there's Joey Fatone.
That's right.
Then there's Chris Kirkpatrick, the Pineapple Head. And then Justin Timberlake. So it was the two that aren't Joey Fatone, Justin Timberlake, and Pineapple Head. It was the other two.
Chavez.
Yeah, so Jan was in there, and we had to go in and say, hey, guys, here's what we're thinking. Have fun out there. Any questions? And it was like, boo. Nobody's saying nothing.
So they didn't even know what they were doing when they went up there?
Well, I think it's like, you know, they were just banging it out. It was one of 12 press things they had to do that day. But you know, on the Junos, when a big-name American artist is there, they're probably winning International Artist of the Year.
Or they're not going to be there every time.
Yeah.
If you see them in the audience, they'll be up later.
Yeah.
And if they don't win, they'll create an award for them.
Yeah. Like if there's a cutaway in the audience and Florida Georgia Line is at the Junos.
Hey, we've added the Tim Hortons Achievement Award.
Right.
It's like, doesn't really mean anything.
For Best International Country Duo, the nominee is Florida Georgia Line. All I really want to do in the world is do the voiceovers at the Junos. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Arkells. So I saw Jan Arden, lovely woman. I got to log some time with the Duthers.
Ah, Duthy?
Yeah, it was great.
He's a beauty, isn't he?
I'd never met him before.
Oh, yeah, he's great. He's funny, too.
James Duthiest.
He really is. Yeah, he's one of those people that's actually a cooler, more fun guy than he seems like on TV, you know what I mean?
He's exactly who you would hope and want him to be.
Yes, for sure.
So that was fun, and he had nice things to say about the book and the podcast and you, of course. Nice. So in my category, I was nominated against, there's a CBC show called The Goods, there's a couple other folks, a chef, a guy named Maddie, and then Marilyn Dennis.
Okay.
So Marilyn Dennis's show wins Best I think it was, must be best talk show. There's so many categories like best live show, best host in a live show, best talk series, best program. I wish they
had like best look into the camera.
Yeah, the Mr. Roper Award for best take to camera. So here's the nice thing. Marilyn's show won best talk series, and she is somebody who sets the bar really high, works really hard, by all accounts, nicest person ever. She's Adam Wilde's mom.
Oh, okay, nice.
And Adam's on the Steve Dangle podcast, serious bud. So I won in the category that I was nominated against Marilyn. Gave her a shout out. I said the only gigs I ever get are when people are looking for a Marilyn Dennis type. And she came over afterwards and said, congratulations, you deserve it. It was great. Look at us. We're all working. Isn't life grand? So gracious and kind and awesome. Mm-hmm. I loved that because I'd heard that about her and it was confirmed in spades.
Yeah, I met her a couple years ago at a party for Belle. Christmas party, and she was super sweet.
She's the best.
She's a legend.
Are you kidding? She's the best.
Are you kidding me?
Which brings us to, so we bailed on our little New York lunch, and now we're kind of pre-bailing on our March break plan, and just trying to figure it out, bud.
So you're probably just gonna chill and hang for a bit.
I guess so.
Till the weather clears.
I guess so, because even if the second we leave here, we go through New Brunswick, and that is more north and more snowy and more cold. And it is a good thing that we're driving a big vehicle because it's heavier and whatever, but it's also a bad thing because it's more rubber on the road. No vehicle is immune to ice, and if that thing starts to slide, it could be kind of top-heavy, could topple over. So we're just on a hot standby.
Beautiful.
There you go.
Chilling. Just hanging, getting ready for it.
There you go.
So I went to the Aurora Tigers playoff game last
night.
With
Dart Guy.
With Dart Guy, Jason, who's a bot. And speaking of broadcasting legends, John Derringer, who is a serious bod. We went on the show and we were launching the book. And
He is in the Maryland stratosphere as well. Like, kind, yes. Hardworking, been around a long time, loved him.
There's not too many people. I ask everybody that I know that's in broadcasting, from your Strombos to Jim Richards to Makowitz, that they all say that guy is, like, they all love him and look at him as the bar.
Yeah.
Because he's knowledgeable, he's got a classic voice, he's very intelligent when it comes, and he's also very quick and funny, which is kind of rare to have all those qualities, you know what I mean?
The thing that I really liked about him, and this is the mark of a great host, Marilyn Dennis has this too, by the way, is I took an interviewing course once, and the guy said the interviewer is the star of the show, but the interviewee has to be the star of the interview. Otherwise, what are they doing there?
Yeah.
And it takes someone with a certain level of confidence in their own status to let their guests shine. And I've done interviews, as I know you have, where the question is 7 minutes long and the only answer you can really give is like, yeah, man.
Yeah, you feel you're winded by the question that you're like, yeah, you kind of explained it enough for me.
Thanks. Right, or the whole purpose of the question was to kind of give the impression that you know a lot.
Yeah.
So Derringer is someone who seemed really happy to give us a platform to talk about our book, and that is the mark in my eyes of a true pro.
Yeah, so anyway, the game was exciting. It was 1-1 forever to a double overtime, and the Trenton Golden Hawks, who were down 2-0 as game 3, came back and won the game 2-1.
Come on.
So that series 2-1 for the Tigers in a 7-game series. Hopefully they can finish this one off and get into things. I'd like to go back to a later one when they're getting closer to the finals.
So how did that come about? I'm so interested in the you, Derringer, and Dart Guy story.
Well, Dart Guy just, I don't know, he just kind of threw out a a friend. He's such a friendly guy. Yeah. And he actually, by the way, said thanks to you because you. He said you were one of the first people to reach out to him when he got the radio show at 10:50.
Yeah.
TSN to do the Saturday show, and you were one of the first people to reach out and say, "All right, man, good job. Like, congrats." Yep. And he was just. He's a positive guy, a nice guy, and he put it together. He's like, "Hey, you guys want to come out and check it out?" Because John lives up here, and I live up in the area, so it's a close rip for us. And he's the scout for the Aurora Tigers, so he's always at the games.
Wait, Dark Guy is?
Dark Guy, Jason. Yeah.
He is. Was he the scout before the Dark Guy stuff?
Yeah, he's loved and played hockey his whole life. He knows what he's talking about. He's definitely, which is kind of, I knew that people would be like, okay, he's not just some guy sitting in the stands that wanted to have a dart. But honestly, when you're painting your face at any sport, you're a fan. Like that type of person,
yeah, for sure.
They have to know everything about the team just because the devotion that you see. You don't know, kind of like, I don't know if they're in the playoffs or not, but they have the makeup on, like it's not going to happen, you know. But actually, and Jim Thompson, the president, former NHLer, he played for the Kings in 93, LA Kings with Gretz. He's got some stories. And Dermot Anderson was there too, the GM, but I want to give shout-outs to those guys for just making us feel great. We got to do the puck drop.
No way, and it's good hockey too, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's great hockey. It's incredible.
What were you wearing? Like they gave you a jacket?
Yeah, I got a nice little jacket from the Tigers, and I gotta say they're a great team. There's a lot of talent on there. I'm sure some of them might end up in the show at some point, or at least rocking into the OHL. But the goalie on that team, the Tigers, I was really impressed with. He was very, very impressive. He made like 5 or 6 incredible saves.
The Truro Bearcats went to my kid's elementary school the other day. Like, I love when the teams at that kind of level do good work in the community because it's such a big deal to the kids to have the hockey players come and they signed their calendars and had their pictures taken with them and stuff. Fine young folks.
Yeah, and honestly, junior A level hockey is just as competitive as you want to see. And the fact that the arenas are usually small. You're right there, so you can see the action. They're so fast and strong, and the hits are. It's crazy. Well, they're 17 to 20 years old, right? So
that's, I know, and they're big lads. And then you see their pictures in the calendar, and you realize they're babies.
Yeah, they. When we dropped the pucks, obviously they were 1.5 feet taller than us, and they had like you know. I love how modern. These young kids have the crazy salad, the nuts hair. One guy had this big bleach blonde, like, poof thing on his head. My son Jack on his soccer team, he'll play with guys and they have, like, huge afros. And, I mean, Jack's hair is almost as long as mine. So I like that young kids are getting more, looks like 1976 or something.
Getting the salads going.
Yeah.
There's an annual salad competition.
Is there?
Yeah, it's a hockey tournament, and like part of it is, I'll find it during the break, part of it is growing out your hair and like who has the best flow.
Wow.
YouTube links and stuff. I'll get it teed up.
There's got to be different categories, no?
I don't know. I think it's just best overall flow.
For hockey, like it's got to be a helmet on, so you have that. That's how you start is underneath the helmet.
No, it's no helmet, like skate up and spray, so you get to see how the salad looks in the wind.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it's a skate and spray.
They just come in and...
It's a salad toss.
You'll see a guy with, like, a mohawk do a big spray.
Oh, there's, like, then, frosted tips and mullets like, and mohawks and...
James Hetfield, 1987.
Yep. Bob's. Yeah, there's everything.
Bob's.
Froze, there's everything. Let's take a break. It's 1:39, and we have a game or two to play.
Yeah.
We've just been... We took to the talking, bud.
We're Berlin.
BRB.
Fucking right, eh?
Hello.
New segment, who dis? We have two fun games to play this week.
We do.
The first is called Blank Your Old Mask. And the second is, you came up with two great games, Bio or Bio. So we'll read each other quotes, and you have to guess if it's from someone's bio or if it's a quote from Scott Baio.
The first one came from a tweet that you had.
Did it?
It's like, yeah, the situ you were like, this is the situation years old.
Yeah, right.
Right?
So I am goes from room to room turning off lights years old.
Yes. And Baio or Bio just came to me this morning. I think it's going to be fun. But let's start with the blank year old mask. Blank year old mask.
Okay.
That's great.
Blank Who's going first?
You so go
the rules
first.
Are, I wrote ages associated with my quotes, and you have to guess within 3 years either side. Right?
Yeah. We give it 3 years.
3 years plus or minus. Okay, so here's my first one. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
I should probably get a will done up. Blank year old mask. What age?
You gotta do it. You gotta form it in the sentence of, right? I should get a looking mask, or you know.
Okay,
year old mask.
Should probably get a will done up. Year old mask.
There it is. That's it.
Should probably get a will done up. Your old mask.
Midlife crisis thought, maybe, or it's older, but I'm going to go with maybe the former. I'm going to say 57.
Interesting.
Yeah.
47 was the age I had.
Oh, see, yeah, but I was thinking middle age now is more 57 than 47.
I guess so, but I was thinking like you're doing okay in your career. Maybe you bought a cottage. You're starting to chip away, starting to think about retirement. Like, oh, wait a sec.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. 47. I like that. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right, hit me.
Okay. I press pause before playing someone's game. Oh, sorry, that's a different one. I'm reading the other game one, sorry. I'm putting firecrackers into a bucket and lighting it on a sleep guy's lap years old, Matt.
Oh, okay. Yeah. 23.
You got it. That's a 20-year-old move.
Yeah, sure. It sure is.
Because it's like, sometimes it's like, well, you can't drink, so you do stupid pranks like that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, definitely got that one for sure.
Nice. Oh, good okay. one, too. That's so of an age.
Yeah, right?
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Bought my first pair of readers at Shoppers, your old mask. Don't need glasses, but still need, like, you had to get some readers to look at the weekend paper.
See, that's in the ballpark of your last one. I'm going to say that could be 45 years old.
I had 52.
Ooh.
But do you know, I've noticed in the last few months, my arms are getting longer, but I do the neck tilt to look at the small print. I always have great vision. In fact, some would say Jono vision, but now I notice that things are looking fuzzy.
Did you know that taller people can see easier with that situation because they can put the whatever it is out far enough that they can read it. How crazy is that?
Because their wingspan's bigger.
Yes, they can get it out far enough where it's actually they can start rocking the other side of the lens.
For some reason, I thought you were going to say a did you know fact about taller Cranston. I was like, where is this going?
No. Okay, you ready?
That makes more sense. Yeah, hit me.
I'm always fall asleep halfway through Jeopardy, years old, mask, year old mask.
Huh.
I'm always fall asleep halfway through Jeopardy, year old mask.
I feel like this person is still in their work life, but getting a little tired.
But it happens every time, right?
Yeah. I'm going to say 57.
I had 65, bot.
Huh.
But that's pretty close. It could happen at 57, easily.
Okay. I'm paid for groceries with a check, your old mask.
Oh. That's I'm going to say 65 right there.
I had 68. Bam. Well done.
Nice. I got one. Okay. I'm live in my parents' basement playing an online life simulation when he's awake, year old Mafk.
What is that, like Sims?
Yeah. Like the, every waking hour, he's on that.
Oh, boy. Well, first life. Thought, best
like
thought.
He's married with kids on the sim, like that styles.
I'm going to say 32.
38, bod.
Okay.
Close.
I'm found a Werther's in my cardigan pocket, year old Math.
I'm going to say 74.
I had 67.
Oh, yours are all within like 6 years.
I know. I know. Well, I guess you cast a wider net, and that was smart.
Okay. But this is a good one for age. I'm love drones and added video droning as an asset to my job skill set, year old man.
27.
Yeah, 30.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, I'm good at this, but I also edit things and do all this other stuff. I'm a video droner.
Video
now.
Drone as a skill for sure.
Going into golf courses. Hey, can I do your course for $100?
Drones have changed everything, though.
I know. I hate them when they're buzzing around my house.
Well, sometimes you see if you're like going for a walk in a park or something, there's people there just to use drones.
I know, but when you see the same one come around, you're like, okay, like you've seen this area enough. Like some of them, they're going looking around people's backyards and stuff. Like, what the hell is that? Yeah.
So you'll just be out sunbathing and a drone will show up over your head?
With the butter cream all over me, lying there. And all of a sudden, bzzz, comes right up, right above us.
So you're just there minding your own business with zinc on your nose.
Well, it's not just us, but it's everybody. Yeah, zinc on my nose, yellow gulp sunglasses with the neon sides. Lying
so you're just
down.
Lying there, lathered in Hawaiian Tropic, holding up one of those tinfoil masks to your face.
Yes.
A drone will appear over your head?
I'm telling you, I'm just lying there on my Coconut Joe towel.
In your onion skin briefs. And next thing you know, there's a drone?
Yeah. Put down my jumbo freezy, and I look up, and it's buzzing right above my head. No, but
so
it's everybody.
So you grab a Frosty Soldier from the Coleman camping cooler and have a cube of cheese, and you look up, and there's a drone.
Yes. Just before I grab an ice cold Tahiti treat from the styrofoam cooler on the other side. That's when the drone passes over.
So you're in your Chip and Pepper shorts with your Ocean Pacific. What was it called when you touch it and it's warm and it changed color?
Yeah. Oh, I'm saving that for mine. So you're in your Varney flip-flops, holding your beaver canoe. Oh, we're stuck in 1986.
I know, but I'm actually genuinely curious and concerned about the drone.
It's everybody's backyard. You just see it kind of cruising around, looking at people.
I know, but is it a kid from the neighborhood, or is it?
I don't
like...
know. That's the thing. You don't know who it is. It could be like, you know, two blocks from here.
How many feet off the ground is it?
It could go like 60 feet or just above the trees.
Don't you feel like blasting it out of the sky?
I do. Sometimes I feel like getting a slingshot and just fucking it up.
Because can't bad guys use them to see if you have a canoe in your backyard that they want to jack?
Or, you know, looking at the pattern in which you're in your house and out of your house.
Wow. Right? Google Crime. From the makers of Google Earth comes Google Crime.
I'm buying a slingshot. Getting a good one.
Well, I don't understand why that's not trespassing.
You know You know what the best thing is with slingshots?
What?
And it'll go right through glass like nothing. Is, you know, the little ceramic around spark plugs.
Like a super clean hole.
Yeah, if you break apart that ceramic and put that through a piece of glass, it'll pinch, go right into it and shatter the whole thing.
Bam.
Like so quick. If you ever want to get through a window and pay some respects to a friend.
Jimmy starts voicemail messages with, if you get this, you're old Mavk.
If you get this, you're old Mavk?
Voicemail messages with, hey, if you get this, you're old Mavk.
Oh, that's pretty good. Okay, do it again.
Starts voicemail messages with, hey, if you get this, you're old Mavk.
I would say maybe 18.
Close, 74.
Well, because if kids don't leave voice messages anymore, right?
Right.
Like that. So, yeah.
You know what? It's our differences that make us the same. We're probably both right.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
How bizarre.
Do you have any more?
Oh, by the way, we're going to pick our How Bizarre winner on the internet service and get a t-shirt in the mail.
Yes.
Some great entries.
There are some classics.
Okay, should we play Bayo or Bio?
Yeah, let's play Bayo or Bio.
Blank Your Old Mavk is fun because it's so open to interpretation and there's no wrong answer, really.
No, not at all. It's beautiful.
All right, Bayo or Bio?
Bayo or Bio.
So to recap, you're going to read a statement and I have to guess if it's a quote from Scott Bayo or from someone's bio.
Yes, a social media bio statement or a quote from Scott Bayo. Okay? You ready? You ready? I'll go first.
Okay.
I'm a potato during the week, but I'm a sweet potato on the weekend. Bayo or Bio?
It's kind of too clever for Bayo. I'm going to say Bio.
It's Bio. Nice. Okay.
Child actor who didn't do meth.
That's Bayo.
That's Bio.
Oh, that's a Bio.
Because he does have, there is kind of a judgy quality to him, isn't there?
He could have done meth too.
Probably did. He's kind of confrontational and cocky.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Life is too short, no matter what party you're with. Bayo or Bio?
No matter what?
Party you're with.
Party you're with?
Yeah. I'm assuming it's political.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Life is too short, no matter what party you're with. It's Bayo or Bio?
I think that's Bio.
That's Scott Bayo, yeah.
Is it?
And you got it wrong. That's Bayo, not Bio. Did you say Bio? It's like a bio, right?
Yeah. I would have thought that was too gracious of Bayo.
Yeah. Yeah, he would have said, I hate dirty Democrats.
Okay, you ready? Self-proclaimed media hoe.
That's Bayo.
That's Bio.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because Bayo hasn't had any media work.
Well, he sort of has.
Well, with outside reality television and Donald Trump's campaign, right? I mean, to be honest, the last movie I saw him in was The Boy Who Drank Too Much.
Well, when was that? 1980 like, something?
Yeah.
Like, is he still living on those Charles in Charge?
I want you to tell me if you can, and you know movies and TV way more than me. Can you name something after The Boy Who Drank Too Much?
No.
Or Charles in Charge. That's it. And that was over in like 85.
Well, was he originally, didn't he start on Happy Days as the Fonz's nephew or something?
Chachi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that where he came from though? He was his nephew.
Yep. That was it. It was Chach.
And then Charles in Charge.
That was the height.
Joni Loves Chachi was before Charles in Charge, right?
Yeah. Joni Loves Chachi was a spinoff of Happy Days. It failed miserably.
What is...
That was after... Happy Days jumped the shark.
What is the origin of Chach? Like, that guy's a Chach.
I think it's Chachi.
Is it?
He was such a Chach, yeah. It's just kind of cheesy.
Okay, you ready?
Is it me or you?
It's me.
Okay, go.
Don't ever take a shower with a woman because you'll probably end up proposing to her.
Oh, that's pretty greasy. Crunch, crunch, crunch styles. I'm going to say that's Bale.
Bale.
Yeah.
That's Bale. Isn't that greasy? Don't ever take a shower with a woman because you'll probably end up proposing to her.
Jeez.
Chach.
Okay, how about this one? I'm a seeker of the truth, the power of words, tequila, guitar rock, and down-home culinary delights. Seeker of the truth, the power of the words, tequila, guitar rock, and down-home culinary delights.
I'm going to say it's kind of D-baggy, but I think it's more Kid Rock D-bag than Bayo. So I'm going to say Bio.
That's Bio. You got it.
Of who, do you know?
No, these are non-celebrities, some of these. Because I didn't want to use celebrities in case you recognize the Bio.
Okay, here's a good one.
Statement Bios.
You ready?
Yeah.
You know who I am.
That's got to be Scott Baio.
That's Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, well. Well, you kind of do, right?
I guess I might have tipped my hand with the reed because I made it sound more cocky. Whereas Robert Downey Jr. might be like, you know who I am. But still, you can't interpret tone correctly necessarily in something written.
How about this one? I plan it out like a solar system.
Bio.
I plan it out. Bio or Bayo?
That's Bio.
That's a Bio. That's too smart for Bayo. It's pretty good, though.
Pretty good. Yeah. I regret losing certain women, but it's always been my fault.
That's not Bayo. He would say it's their fault. I'm going to say Bio.
That's Bayo.
Oh, yeah. He's lying.
Surprisingly.
How about this? I'm sick and tired of going out in public and hearing people talk about me. Bio or Bayo?
Is that Bayo?
That's Bayo.
Yeah, that sounds like him. This is, okay, see if you can guess. Sometimes I want to give it all up and become a handsome billionaire.
One more time?
Sometimes I want to give it all up and become a handsome billionaire.
Yeah, that's definitely a cheese ball Bayo line.
That's Bio.
Even he wouldn't stoop that ridic.
Even Bayo wouldn't stoop that ridic. Hey, that's 139 in the can, bud.
Hey, it is, bud.
Big milestone next week, 140.
Ooh, we're getting close to the 150. What are we going to do?
I think it's going to time out that we're going to be on our 5 days in May Ontario rip.
Oh, wouldn't that be fantastic?
Wouldn't that be good?
We got some great stuff lined up for this spring coming up. This year's looking good for TNT.
No kidding. It's going to be great.
Okay, yeah, bud.
Exciting stuff coming down the pipe. Boom, gung, gang, go, ding, gung, ju, boom, bounce, boom, do, dang, doom, bum, bang, tick, doom, down. Oh, what a night! See you, bud.